Get ready. Don't touch that dial. Welcome to New Life Ministries broadcast. I'm Pastor Gregory Tenney of the Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust you will enjoy today's broadcast.
Welcome to G Smooth City, where you're a citizen, with your host, Pastor G Smooth Denny.
Hello to all of you on this day. But truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. I want to thank you for tuning in to this broadcast, and I want to thank you for your support. But truly, my brothers and sisters, we cannot make it without each other. And we should always try our best to support one another. And when we support one another, we show that godliness, that Christ-like in us when we give each other support. I want to also say to you that you should make sure that you are abiding by the CDC rules and guidelines. My brothers and sisters, it is very important that you social distance, you wear your mask, you sanitize, and you stay your distance, because it is very important in these trying days. This COVID-19 pandemic, it's out there, and it's running very rampant in our cities and in our neighborhoods, and we should always protect ourselves. We want to just pray. We also want to pray for those who are less fortunate. We want to pray for those who have been dealing with this COVID-19 and have it has impacted their bodies and their lives, and we pray that God will deliver them from whatever he needs to deliver them from. For truly, God is a good God. And we should always know that he's a God that supplies our every need. I just want to speak with you today, just briefly, on the subject letting me out. We should always know, my brothers and sisters, we should always ask God to let us out. And if we look at the scripture there in Exodus 3, 3rd chapter, 7th through 9th verse, it says, "The Lord says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard their crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." My brothers and sisters, I want to just talk just for a few moments on the subject of let me out. Let me out. And in this passage of scripture, there are three main points that are important in this message. Number one, the promise. God promised never to leave us and never to leave us alone. Secondly, the problem. We as a people refuse to serve God, and that's a problem. And thirdly, the provision. You got to know that he made a provision for all of us, because God provides. Now look, the children of Israel was in a situation that had a very serious problem. A problem that only God could handle. And sometimes we must come to the realization of knowing that some problems we just can't handle by ourselves. Some problems could have been avoided. Some problems we just asked for because of our disobedience. Here the children of Israel was in slavery, and they were treated badly by the Egyptians, and their cry to God was heard, and God understood their situation. The children of Israel wanted to be delivered from their slave masters, and God listened to their cry. How many of you know that God listens to your cry, their request, and he delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians? My brothers and sisters, I'm here as a leader to help, not to hurt, to love, not to hate. In our struggles together, we will come out together. I'm here to seek to God can save those who are struggling, save those who are down and bring them up, save those who are lost, to help them find their way to joy, peace, and happiness, find their way to life that will one day make them heirs to the kingdom of God, to the city of God. My brothers and sisters, I'm talking about a city where the streets are paved with gold, the gates are pearly. But look here, the people of God of God, and because of our disobedience that we've had, God allows things to happen. You got to know, my brothers and sisters, that God has given provision. God has given provision. The problem was that we were disobedient. But there's a provision. The provision is that God has given instructions to his people, his church. God has given his people provision. He has already prepared the way and has stored up everything that is needed in order to survive. All God is asking of you is to keep his covenant and obey his commandment. God also let us know what will happen if we don't obey his commandments. Read Deuteronomy 28:15-20, and it will let you know. My brothers and sisters, it says, I will curse your city, diseases, wipe you out slowly. I will curse your country. In other words, destroy all indices. I will curse your basket and bread bowls, contaminating your food supply. I will curse your children. I will curse your crops. I would even curse the young of your livestock. I will curse the lamb of your flock. I will curse your coming in and going out. You should always keep his commandments and obey his commandments. You ought to be crying out to God, asking him, let me out of this hellish marriage, this relationship. Let me out of this dishonest wage of employment. Let me out of bondage in my life. Let me out of poverty. Let me out of heartache and pain. Let me out of afflictions, trials and tribulations, confusion, mess-making, dishonesty, hard-heartedness. Just let me out of it. And my brothers and sisters, if you know anything about the children of Israel, you know they were in bondage there. They were in captivity, and the Egyptians treated them very badly. But they kept crying out to God. See, and that's what we should do in our everyday life. We should never stop crying out to God. We should always cry out to God for help. Always cry out to God to supply our needs. And when you cry out to God and you seriously mean what you're crying out for, God will answer your prayer. How many of you know that God will answer your prayer? And God is a God that don't just answer it. He supplies all of our needs. You ought to be saying, let me out. Whatever situation you're dealing with, my brothers and sisters, you ought to be saying, let me out. We deal with a lot of things in life. We deal with a lot of turmoil in life. You know, I was speaking with a young man, and the young man was telling me about a situation, and God blessed this young man. And you might know this young man. His name is JoJo Reed. And God, this young man had an encounter with someone who tried to rob him and take advantage of him, and he was shot 7 times, but yet he's still living. And then he has come to have to deal with the legal system that's trying to bombard him and trying to bring things upon him and make cases upon him that's not true. Well, I say to him, I say to you, JoJo Reed, hold on to God's unchanging hand. And look, when people seem as though they're profiling you and they're coming after you, and you're the victim, of a situation, God will take care of it. God never leaves you nor forsake you. And our legal system need to come out of bondage. See, our legal system, we find that it is in bondage at times, because what happens and transpires is that we do things that we shouldn't do in order to build cases on folk that don't deserve it. Yeah, I said it and I said it again. Our young black men are trying to do some positive things. Those who are trying to do positive things, it seems as though society, the legal system, want to hold them in bondage and profile on them and damage their lives. And let me tell you something, folks, when things come about and you're put in the paper and stuff for things that you did not do, it damages your character. It damages your reputation. It damages your lifestyle. And I challenge us, men of God, to come out and stand up for our people. Stand up for folk who are being taken advantage of. They're being held in captivity. We wonder why a lot of our young folk don't try to do more and try to be better people and try to move forward. It's simply because the system is fighting against them. My brothers and sisters, just as the Egyptians had the children of Israel in slavery, we find ourselves as young black men in captivity as well, in slavery, not so much physically, but we find ourselves in captivity financially and physically. But we just find that they're doing it a different way. We ought to be encouraging our young folk. We ought to be trying to allow them to move forward. We ought to be pushing them. Not trying to damage them. And it burns me up when I see what's happening, what's going on, and we're right back finding ourselves in captivity. You've just heard New Life Ministries of Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, 4800 Smith Avenue. Your love, gifts, and offerings are greatly appreciated. You can send all donations to 150 Browns Lane, Pineville, Louisiana, 71360. At Second Nazarene, we equip the saints, evangelize the sinner, and enhancing this society as one church ministering hope to four generations through the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next time. Thank you, and may God bless you.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
Good morning on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. Let's go to the Word. 2 Corinthians 8:7 says, "But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also." I had something planned for this, but driving today, the Lord told me I've got something different for you. So I'll tell you a little story. Got a call from my wife today. She said, "Hey, I got a call from our kids' school. And they said, hey, just wanted to let you know that your son's teacher got fired. And it was because she was being unkind to him." My wife says, "Well, unkind how?" I said, "Well, she kind of pushed him into a desk and put her knee behind the chair where he couldn't move." My wife tells me this, and I'm like, "Well, I don't know what to do with that. Can we see a video? They record everything now. Can we watch it?" They didn't want to really give us much. Wasn't much we could do about it. We just knew she got fired. A couple of hours later, my wife gets a call from a detective and says, "Hey, do y'all want to press charges?" And then we're like, "Well, hold on now. There's got to be something else to this that they're calling and asking us to press charges." So we ask him if we can see the video, and he says normally wouldn't be able to with it being an ongoing investigation, but I'm a dad, so I'm gonna come and show y'all the video. So he comes over, shows us, and in the video it starts out where it's just her and these 11 just out of their mind kids running around with no regard of anything. You know, you got two of them fighting over here. One got knocked down. Now there's a meltdown going on. You got two of them over here. One pushed the other one. Now that one's on the ground having a meltdown. You got two more over here that got into it, and one's having a meltdown. And you just see this one lady just trying to control all this, and she's being pulled in 12 different directions. Well, she starts grabbing chairs and putting the kids sitting down in chairs, and she gets this one kid and she kind of pushes him into the table with a little bit of force, goes and grabs a couple more kids, and she gets to my son. And this is when the detective says, "This is where you want to watch." So I'm expecting just like she's going to like slam his head into the table or something. She grabs him, she puts him in the chair, and with a little bit of force, she pushes him to the table, puts his hands down on the table. So she turns around and goes grab a couple more kids and sits them down. By this time, my son pushed his chair out about 3 feet away from the table. And she turns around, goes back to him, same thing. She pushes him into the table with a little bit of force and puts his hands down on the table. She turns around, goes deal with a couple more kids. My son does the same thing. She turns around, pushes him into the table with a little force, puts his hands down on the table. She finally got all the kids seated, and you can see her and my son having a conversation. He's sitting in his chair, she's standing up, and you can see them looking at each other talking. And I recognize that face. So I know that face right there. He's telling her he's not going to do something, and he's not. I know my kid. He's hard-headed. But she was real gentle with him. You know, she wasn't what I expected was going to happen. You know, she wasn't going just outrageous and slamming him into a wall or, you know, body slamming him into the floor or anything like that. She picks him up and takes him to the bathroom and changes his pull-up. And you can see into the bathroom the whole time, you know, she's not being rough with him. She's talking to him. They get done. Come back out. He sits in a chair. He does it again. He scoots his chair out about 3 feet. She walks up to him with a little bit of force, pushes him back into the table and puts his hands on the table. She, you know, goes to doing a few things, and Next thing you know, she picks him up and goes and puts him in the timeout chair. Well, she doesn't just put him in the timeout chair, though. She gets down on the floor and starts talking to him. Like, she's sitting on the floor talking to him. And you can tell they're having a conversation, but it looks like this woman's crying. It looks like she's just bawling over there. And my heart just broke for her at this moment. Because I know what my son does. Like, I know how he acts. I'm not one of those parents that's going to, you know, my son. Oh, no, not my son. No, that's not me. I know my kids. Well, so she got fired for this. And, you know, the cop asks, you know, after we watch the video, do y'all want to press charges? I was like, no. He said, well, before y'all answer, y'all go ahead and go home and talk about it. My wife's like, we don't need to talk about it. We're not pressing charges. And I told the cop, you know, I said, my heart goes out to that woman. Like, look at what she was having to deal with by herself. She's got 11 kids in there by herself. They're going crazy. And now she's getting fired because she did, in my opinion, less than what I do to my kid on a daily basis. You know, I discipline him, but she didn't spank him. She didn't do anything like that. She didn't get crazy rough with him. You know, she just tried to make him listen. In all this, the Lord really started speaking to me about grace. You know, I haven't been a Christian for very many years, but just a couple years ago, I wouldn't have been able to give that woman grace in that situation. I would have been, oh, how dare you? How dare you touch my kid? How dare you get a little rough with him? But now that I know Jesus, I'm able to give the grace that he's given us. After all this happened, I looked up the definition of grace. And the definition of it is, in Christian belief, the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. So it really got me thinking, you know. Two words really stuck out to me in there. Free. We didn't have to do anything for it. We didn't have to pay for it. It was freely given to us. Salvation, eternal life, forgiveness of sins. It was freely given to us. Unmerited. We didn't have to do anything for it, and we don't deserve it. Nothing we could do could make us deserve what Christ has done for us. And in this situation, because we know that grace that is being freely given to us, we're able to give that grace to this woman. She doesn't deserve it. I mean, in my eyes, she didn't do anything wrong. But if you look at it through a legal point of view, she broke the law, which says something about where we are today as a society. That's against the law. But we were able to give her that grace that she absolutely didn't deserve. But one day, we're all going to need that grace. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. in our time of need. When do you need grace? I need it all the time. Several times throughout the day. That lady needed that grace. She'd already lost her job. She'll probably never get another job in education for the rest of her life. That school, that 4 years of school that she went through, that's down the drain. But she could have went to jail too. But because we know the grace provided by Jesus Christ, we were able to give her that grace. In Matthew 7, it says, don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have that nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again, playing a holier-than-thou part instead, just living your part. Wipe that ugly sneer off your face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. With the same grace that we're given, we have to turn around and give that to people. God didn't have to give us that grace. Because he loves us, he gave it to us. And Jesus tells us to love. Like that's the one commandment he gave us, was to love. Love God, love your neighbor. If we're supposed to be Jesus in the world, then we have to give what he's given us. We have to give that grace. And the same measure that we give is what will be measured back to us. And when we gave that grace to that woman, it wasn't in our minds, oh, because we're doing this, we're gonna get grace back. Like God, you know, we're gonna get something out of it. No. We gave it because it was freely given to us. We serve such a great God. All we have to do is give. Give with our hearts. You know, it makes me think about our society right now and all of this cancel culture. Somebody says something that we don't like, one of them lose their job. Somebody does something we don't like, you know, they've got to lose their job. And we don't stop until they lose their job. We're like a pack of hyenas attacking them. We don't let up until we get that satisfaction. But why is our satisfaction in somebody else's misery? What does that say about us?